Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Further Inquiries by Vidura, text number 12. Sa
vai
nivriti
garmena
vasudeva
anukampaya
bhagavat
bhakti yogena
hirodate
shunai
naha. Savai-niriti-dharmena
Savai-niriti-dharmena
Vasudeva-nukampaya
Vasudeva-nukampaya
Bhagavad-bhakti-yogena
Bhagavad-bhakti-yogena
Nirodhate-shunariha
Nirodhate-shunariha
Savai-niriti-dharmena
Savai-niriti-dharmena
Vasudeva-nukampaya
Vasudeva-nukampaya
Bhagavad-bhakti-yogena
Bhagavad-bhakti-yogena
Rodate-shunariha
Rodate-shunariha Savai-niriti-dharmena Vasudeva-nukampaya
Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anukampaya, by the mercy of Bhagavad, in relation with the Personality of Godhead. Bhakti Yogena, by linking up. Tirodate, diminishes. Shanai, gradually. Yaha, in this existence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. But that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually by the mercy of the Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, through the process of devotional service to the Lord in the mode of detachment. Purport. The quivering quality of material existence, which comes from identification with matter, or from thinking oneself under the material influence of philosophical speculation to be God, can be eradicated by devotional service to the Lord by the mercy of the Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. As discussed in the first canto, because the application of devotional service to the Lord Vasudeva invites pure knowledge, it quickly detaches one from the material conception of life and thus revives one's normal condition of spiritual existence even in this life and frees one from the material winds which cause one to quiver. Only knowledge and devotional service can elevate one towards the path of liberation. The development of knowledge for the purpose of knowing everything without rendering devotional service is considered fruitless labor, and one cannot get the desired result by such labor of love. Lord Vasudeva is pleased by devotional service only, and thus His mercy is realized by association with pure devotees of the Lord. Pure devotees of the Lord are transcendental to all material desires, including the desire for the results of fruitive activities and philosophical speculation. If one wants to acquire the mercy of the Lord, one has to associate with pure devotees. Such association alone can, by degrees, release one from the quivering elements. Savai-niriti-dharmena vasudeva-nukampaya bhagavad-bhakti-yogena tirodate-shunar-iha. But that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually by the mercy of the Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, through the process of devotional service to the Lord and the mode of detachment. Om Vishnu Vrayam Krishna Prasthaya Vidhaya Srimadevi Vasudevanti Swamitinamne Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vicharne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Vasudevaya Deva Sudhane. Nothing new in this verse that we haven't heard before, or maybe there's many things in this verse, and we haven't quite heard them as of yet. But basically, it explains here that if we want to get out of material existence, then we have to become conscious of Krishna. And the process of becoming conscious of Krishna is through the process of devotional service. In the mood of detachment. This has been explained many times before, in different ways. Sadadana munaya, jnana vairagi yuktaya, prashanyatmani chatmanam, bhakti shruti krihitaya. The devotional service, in the background of devotional service, is detachment. Tat sadadana. So shraddha means faith. Of course, faith is based upon experience. If we experience something superior, then naturally we develop faith in it. Or, whatever we're attracted to, we're going to experience, and that will give us some understanding of what that object is, and we'll have faith, either negative or positive, about that object. But generally speaking, whatever we're attracted to, we'll go for, so to speak, or we'll try to experience, and in that experience we'll get some understanding what that object is. Tatsharadana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya. But in the background of devotional service is jnana and vairagya. So jnana, generally in the material conception of jnana, is the analytical study of things. But here in this verse, it mentions pure knowledge. Pure knowledge meaning that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. Although some living entities are more engaged in Krishna's service, others are less engaged in Krishna's service, but by constitution, everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. And only due to the covering of the modes of material nature, that dormant service propensity is either directed towards Krishna or it's directed towards the modes of material nature. When that service attitude is directed towards the modes of material nature, here it explains we experience a quivering quality. Quivering quality means we experience either material happiness or material distress or a combination of both. But Ladini Shakti, who is represented here by Srimati Radharani, that her relationship with Krishna in the mood of unalloyed service is pleasure, is actual transcendental pleasure. Her very desire to serve Krishna and please Krishna is what produces all the pleasure. For all pleasure in both the material and spiritual universes emanate originally from Srimati Radharani's desire to please Krishna and the loving reciprocation between Radha and Krishna. And in the material world it becomes perverted, and instead of trying to please Krishna, that desire to serve becomes manifested as the desire to serve the gross and subtle body. And then ultimately, the self, the soul, ourselves. In other words, we have a very romantic relationship right now with ourself. But it's not really very romantic, it's rather dry. Trying to just look at yourself all day long and think, how wonderful I am. If only I can embrace myself, everything would be so nice. But since we can't embrace ourselves, we're trying to please ourselves through the gross and subtle material senses. But that doesn't help very much. It actually makes things worse. Because the more we try to please the gross and subtle body in order to please ourselves, the more we actually become distressed in the material world. Because the basic element in the material world, the basic desire that we're cultivating, reciprocates with us in the form of lust.
And then the more we get into lust, it turns into anger, and we all have experience of all the other types of experiences that material nature reciprocates with our loving propensity. Everyone in the material world is very sincere to love something, but they're just loving the wrong thing. So to understand that we're directing our loving propensity towards the wrong objects is called jnana. And vairagya is when we stop trying to direct our loving propensity towards temporary things and direct it towards Krishna and his eternal associates. So here it mentions we can learn that science in the association of devotees. That in the association of devotees, we can find out what Krishna wants us to do, and then gradually by doing what Krishna wants us to do, not only with his gross body, but also we have to learn what Krishna wants us to do with our mind and intelligence. First thing Krishna says is manmana. He wants us to think of him. Because in the material world, as well as in the spiritual world, but especially in the material world, very intimate association with Krishna is found by thinking about Krishna. Thinking about Krishna means to associate with him. Here, of course, we're associating with the deities, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, to a certain extent. Of course, we are associating with them, and they're certainly associating with us, but the problem is we may not be so much conscious of them, because our minds may not be so much here. And our minds are not so much present because our intelligence is not so developed in order to actually know how to associate with Krishna. So that intelligence, how to associate with Krishna, Krishna says, the Dami Buddhi Yogam come. It comes, but we're sincerely trying to learn the process of associating with him. Then as he sees that we're very sincere about it, then he reciprocates by giving us the intelligence how to do it. Just as when we really don't want to associate with Krishna, Krishna has very nicely given us intelligence how we can avoid him since time immemorial. So we already have that intelligence. But now, by the practice of devotional service, Krishna will give us the intelligence how we can think of him. And also Krishna, and before that, Krishna says, machita, machkita, prana, bodhiyantash parash puram. Katayantasumam nityam, dushanti charamantucha. That inspiration comes in the association of devotees. When we see that the devotees are blissfully engaged in Krishna consciousness, then we think, why should they only be blissful? I should be blissful too. Why I should be happy like they are. Prabhupada used to say people, they take our books often when they are approached on the street and some blissful devotee somehow or another descends on them out of nowhere and they're so struck with wonder to see that this person looks so blissful and ecstatic that they have no other choice but to take the book and give the donation. They can't even think of what else to do. Krishna doesn't give them enough time to refuse. And often we see when the devotees start talking to a person on the street, if you give them enough time, they will refuse. They'll think of some reason why they want to stay in the material world. But here it explains that in the association of devotees, we learn how the devotees are executing devotional service in such a way that they become conscious of Krishna. Because that's our purpose, is to become conscious of Krishna. Now, as I said, here are the deities, and even the devotees, we're all associating with each other. But we have to learn how to actually see things in a higher way. Therefore, we have philosophy. Because that philosophy is not a dry philosophy. It's philosophy that teaches us about devotional service. But without philosophy, without understanding philosophy, then there's no question of understanding how to direct our loving propensity properly. Real knowledge real philosophy teaches us how to direct our loving propensity towards Krishna and everyone and everything in relation to Krishna so that Krishna becomes pleased
this expert pleases Krishna. And then he's very happy to teach us, to tell us within our heart, how to further direct that loving propensity. And then he says, Tesham eva mukham paradam. Then out of compassion, Krishna, he takes away that quivering quality, it says here. That tendency towards thinking that there is something other than Krishna. Some other service I have to do other than to serve Krishna. Namely, service to this gross and subtle body. Now, of course, as Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura has explained to us, that it is not that in service to Krishna, there is not service to the gross and subtle bodies. Actually, the gross and subtle bodies are better taken care of generally by service to Krishna. But when Krishna takes away the poison from our heart, then service of the gross and subtle body becomes more natural and easy, and at the same time we're utilizing the gross and subtle bodies in service to Krishna. Just like the gopis, they decorate their bodies, they cleanse their bodies, simply that Krishna may become pleased. So, because this is Krishna's body, because this is Krishna's mind, because our intelligence is supposed to be utilized in Krishna's service, therefore all these things have to be utilized in Krishna's service, because that's what we have now to serve Krishna with. And by such service, when Krishna is pleased, he takes away all coverings from the gross and subtle bodies, and then service becomes natural and spontaneous to Krishna, utilizing the same body, mind, and words that we had before. Therefore it says, Savaya kum so, pro dharmo, yato bhaktira hokshige, ahai-ti-kya-pratiyata-yayatma-sukha-siddhati. That only by such service, which is uninterrupted and without motivation, can we actually become satisfied. Because by such service, then Krishna appears within our mind. He appears within our consciousness. That doesn't mean just to see Krishna. For instance, we can meditate upon Krishna holding a flute, Radha-Rishnati-Radharani throwing petals at Krishna. This is also meditating on Krishna. And we also can meditate upon Krishna by seeing how outside everything is Krishna's energy. Everyone is Krishna's servant, and I'm Krishna's servant. That makes me servant of everyone. So inside, outside, everywhere, we can see Krishna. Or that's called Jnana-chakshus, seeing with the eyes of knowledge. That by rendering devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayogitaha Jnana Yadishivaira Jnana Jnana Yadahaibhutam. By such service to Krishna causes knowledge and detaches and develops. In other words, if we patiently, confidently, and enthusiastically serve Krishna, and if Krishna is pleased by our effort to do so, and he reveals himself to us, then automatically our misconceptions, our misgivings, everything that's bothering us, it automatically goes away, because one is so much absorbed in transcendental happiness that one can't think of anything else but how to get deeper and deeper in meditation of Krishna. And then automatically one realizes that what is my position? In other words, we may think, well, I am very elevated, or someone else may think I'm very elevated. But as long as we're identifying with this body, as long as we're not even aware of who we are, as long as we're remaining asleep to our actual activities of devotional service to Krishna and the spiritual platform, where is there any question of being elevated? And if we're not elevated, then when we're singing songs such as Gopina Mama Niveda Shuno Vishai Durjana Sada Kamalata Kichunahi Mora Guna. So we're saying, Gopinath, please hear my prayer. That Gopinath, Mama Nivedana Shuna, Vishai Durjana, that I'm a materialistic person, always attached to worldly enjoyment. And I don't even have any good qualities. So if we sing songs like that, then we won't think, well, that's for everyone else, but you know, actually, that doesn't really apply to me. But then we become more aware of, actually, it must apply to me because I'm unconscious. Although by mercy of the devotees and my spiritual master and Krishna, somehow or another, I'm engaged in devotional service, and by their mercy I may make a little progress, but actually I'm asleep to what reality is. No matter how much I think I'm advanced, but I'm asleep. And therefore, it inspires one when one can understand that we should sing the song very sincerely and actually try to ask Lord Gopinath to somehow or another engage me in his service. Elevate me out of this material existence so that my life, spiritual life, can actually begin again. Of course, this is spiritual life within the temple, serving the devotees and the deities. This is spirit and the spiritual master. That certainly is spiritual life, but it's practice to bring us to the platform, ultimately bhava. Because only on the platform, bhava begins real devotional service, pure devotional service. On the bhava platform, that there is no quiver. We have the nectar of devotion, right? Do we have the nectar of devotion, so? Prabhupada explains very nicely what the bhava platform is. He said on that platform, I'll just paraphrase because you don't have it, that on that platform the heart becomes illuminated like the sun. And the rays of transcendental ecstasy become so great, it's just like the sunshine. On that platform there's no material affection. One is not at all disturbed by any kind of material consciousness. So that is the actual platform of Uttama Adhikara. It's not something that anyone can imitate, but in that platform the meditation of Krishna is so intense that one is just like, if one is thinking about Krishna, one is directly in the spiritual world. And the amazing thing about the spiritual world is that everything there is engaged in pure unalloyed love. There's nothing else going on there. Just like here, there's so many activities, but there is nothing but, generally outside of the devotees, there's nothing but unalloyed lust. Pure unalloyed lust. There are different intensities, of course. But it's not that everyone is equally lusty and angry and greedy and illusion. There's different intensities, and some of them may appear to us to be more elevated, some less elevated. But in any case, it's generally not so contaminated by devotional service, material existence. Or purified by devotional service, we could say. But in the spiritual world, everything there, their only activity is simply love. Pure unalloyed love, which is non-different from pure unalloyed pleasure. And no one can compete with Srimati Radharani and Krishna in their exchange of love. So since everyone's in love, everyone is simply loving them. And they love everyone else more than anyone could possibly love them. So everyone's more and more enthusiastic to serve them, and because of their tendency, they're more and more enthusiastic to serve everyone. So it's very nice there. And that service is simply to increase one's love. Loving tendency towards Krishna and everyone else in the spiritual world, because that produces more and more pleasure. Because there's no difference between love and pleasure in the spiritual world. Or here too. Therefore, that's their only business on the spiritual platform. And that's also our only business in devotional service, but it's accomplished in different ways. One time I sent Srila Prabhupada a check for $50 for his book fund, and he sent me back a letter, and he said, "Thank you very much for this contribution of love." I was not thinking that was a contribution of love. I was saying that it was my duty as a treasurer to send the $50 to Prabhupada's book fund. Because whatever money we collected for selling the blue Bhagavad Gita we sent to his book fund. So then I could understand that in Prabhupada's vision, anything we're doing, any offering of his body, any offering of his mind, any offering of our words, this is all part of loving reciprocation with Krishna. One time Sri Rai Maharaj, he asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, "If we go out and distribute your books, does that mean we'll develop love?" And Prabhupada said, "No, you already have love for Krishna. Otherwise, how can you distribute my books?" Of course, by service, we'll get more love. But without love, how can we perform devotional service? And there is different degrees of that loving propensity, and it can develop more and more. The more consistently and the more enthusiastically we engage in service, then the more Krishna gives us intelligence, and he purifies us so that our loving propensity can develop without any impediment. It is not enough simply to get free from material existence, to get free from the pains of material consciousness or experience, but that will not in itself develop our love for Krishna. It is our love for Krishna which is actually our service to Krishna. It is love for Krishna. Our love for Krishna is our life. That is our existence normally. So just getting free from material existence and being satisfied with that is not the platform of perfection. It may be the beginning of perfection, but it's not the platform of perfection. So here, we're not trying to simply come to get free from the quivering quality, the problems of true existence. We're primarily trying to please Krishna. And that is done primarily in the association of devotees and learning how to please them by rendering service to them in Krishna consciousness. And by such service, then, when Krishna is pleased, everything is perfect. But of course we have to. Krishna is not, as it says, that Krishna loves everyone. It is not that he doesn't love me, therefore he's not elevating me. The Prabhupada explains that everything depends upon, more or less he's saying that Krishna is equal to everyone. Krishna consciousness, however, as long as a pure soul is the eternal servant of God, is this fragmented part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya illusion due to the desire to lord over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter. There is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is free from the clutches of matter. The Lord is not partial toward anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions, remains fast in the transcendental state of Brahma Nirvana. So in other words, if we engage in the practical activities of Krishna consciousness, the result is that we should be able to see Krishna. Seeing Krishna doesn't mean that Krishna is suddenly going to pop in, with his blue. No, we know that's not a fact, because after many years of engaging in devotional service, Krishna doesn't pop in out of nowhere and start playing his flute in front of us. But seeing Krishna means to see with the eyes of knowledge and also to remember Krishna. Even if we can't remember Krishna's form, his quality, his pastimes, which develop through inoffensive chanting, the first, but even before we see the form, the first thing is that we have to see the name of Krishna. We have to understand how names. So this world is the world of names. We give everything a name. Friend, enemy, good, male, female, good, bad, this, that. So many names. Unfortunately, giving so many names to things, we forget Krishna. As soon as we think this is good and this is bad in relation to my sense gratification, then the first thing I do is to get Krishna. And become absorbed into my names of things. Good boy, good boy. Bad boy, bad boy. But this is not a good boy or a bad boy. It's a soul inside a dog body controlled by the modes of material nature. And because I'm an illusion, because I'm a bad boy, I'm thinking this dog is a bad boy. So we have to see things as it actually is. And that comes through hearing from the devotee. And then trying to remember, to try to act in Krishna consciousness. we can't perform devotional service without transcendental intelligence. Otherwise, it can't be devotional service. At least not unalloyed devotional service. It can bring us to the platform of unalloyed devotional service, but we sincerely try to do something, even without knowledge. But we're probably going to do something that won't be so beneficial for our advancement. In other words, we have to become conscious of what we're doing in consciousness of Krishna. And especially conscious that I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm a servant of the devotees of Krishna. Sir Krishna, I should take shelter of the most advanced devotees and learn from them how to become a better servant of the servants of Krishna, servants of the servants. And if we have that mood and we try to assimilate the philosophy, assimilate the knowledge, try to understand how to become a better and better servant of the servants of Krishna, then naturally we'll think of Krishna more and more intently, more and more consistently, and that way we'll come to the perfect state of Krishna consciousness. But the perfect state of Krishna consciousness is not that now I've reached the perfect state of Krishna consciousness and my business is finished. No, that's when our business begins. That's when we actually begin to understand a little bit about how to actually serve Krishna and his devotees. It is not that Srimati Radharani thinks, I'm on the perfectional stage, so everyone can come and, you know, serve me. I'll train everyone up. Her mood is that I'm the lowest of all the devotees. I'm simply the servant of all the devotees. And she revealed that through the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, Gopi Bharati Pada Kamalayora, Dasa Dasa Anudasa. I am simply the servant of the servants of the servants of Krishna. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So the greatest devotee of Krishna, who keeps Krishna under his heart control, is always thinking of herself to be the servant of all the servants of Krishna. So certainly if we want to please her, then if we try to become the servants of Krishna, her servants, then she becomes very pleased. Oh, this devotee is so nice. He's serving my servants better than I can. He's pleasing my servants. Therefore, I'm his servant. And if he feels like that towards us, then naturally she'll recommend us to Krishna. And if she recommends us to Krishna, then Krishna becomes very pleased with us. Then, if Krishna is pleased and reveals himself, then everything becomes very easy and clear, or clearer and easier. Not that all of a sudden it becomes clear and easy. It would be nice if it was like that. And maybe sometimes for some devotees it is like that. But generally we can see we're trying the gradual process of getting the mercy. It's kripa, but through following sadhana. Prabhupada said if you get up in the morning and go to Mangalarati, then you're serving the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. Because you're following his instructions. And of course there are many, many instructions, but that means that we have to assimilate all these instructions and serve the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and their descendants. And the more we can know how to please the six Goswamis, the descendant succession, coming down to the present devotees, then the more Krishna will become pleased, the more the Panchatattva becomes pleased, the more we engage in their service, then our lives become more and more conscious of Krishna. Krishna reveals himself progressively as our service attitude develops, and then we become free from all material problems, and then we can understand what our real life is all about. Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
Hi, thank you for waiting for that. I don't fully understand this figuring. Analogy.
Well, Prabhupada's giving an example of the water, just like his body. Now the body and the mind, probably more and more of the body than the mind, it appears to be so many things are changing all the time. And these emotions, it's like an ocean of emotions, that's what the material world compares it. So the wave of emotions goes over us, and suddenly we feel very good, very peaceful, and then suddenly, envy, I hate that person. And then, fear, oh no, what's going to happen to this? Sleep, go to sleep, you're tired, be So this is like, we're just like quivering. We're just going with these experiences in the mind, of emotions. They're just like, you know, we're drowning in something, swimming in something, sinking in something, struggling in something, going through so many different experiences with this subtle emotion. In our intelligence, sometimes we understand, everything becomes clearer, and then suddenly it all gets covered over. We can't understand what I was thinking about before that was so clear. What's going on now? I understood everything, and I can't even remember what I understood. It was all real. I was self-realized for at least 30 seconds. It all disappeared. And sometimes we feel great, freedom, ecstasy, thinking about Krishna, and then suddenly, oh, you know, that girl I left behind, how could I have done it? It wasn't all bad. So, in other words, we're in an ocean of experience here, material experience. So it's quivering, it's shaking, it's changing all the time. But that steady, when we, just like when everything is very moving around and all the in a pond, if everything's moving around and all the mud comes up and the whole thing is very dirty, you can't see very clear. It's moving around somewhere. But when the water starts settling down, then we can see through the top, bottom of the pond. And we can see in the bottom of the whole thing, Krishna. Behind everything is Krishna. So when we stop being influenced by the emotions of ill nature, by the emotions that sweep over us, and we try to remain steady in Krishna's service, Krishna's conceptions of Krishna consciousness, and gradually these, by Krishna's mercy, these fluctuations gradually cease. He generally discriminates. If we look at the nectar of devotion, the difference between devotees and pure devotees. I think it's the fourth chapter of the nectar of devotion. Those who are engaged in vana and ashram, who are offering the fruits of their labor to Krishna, are generally considered to be devotees, because they're following the rules and regulations of vana and ashram. For those who are actually dedicating their energies to please Krishna, they're known as pure devotees. And out of the pure devotees is first class, second and third class pure devotees. So we generally, sometimes we find Prabhupada making a distinction between first class, second class, and third class pure devotees. For instance, in the nectar of devotion, as I explained, the bhava platform, when one is completely free from all kinds of material influence, and when its heart is just beaming with transcendental love, because one is awakened, one's dormant love for Krishna, and Krishna and his devotees are just reciprocating internally, the loving feelings that one has, so one's heart is just beaming with love. That's first class. So sometimes there's a distinguished, explain what the first class platform, second class platform, and third class. So here it's saying pure devotees, so we can understand because that distinction is not being made. It's be understood that associating with any devotee in Krishna consciousness will help elevate us to the third class, first class, or third class. Because after all, Even if we are on the second and the first class platform, or even if we're on the third class platform, as long as we have a service attitude towards the devotees, Krishna will be pleased. And if Krishna is pleased, we'll advance. He considers them devotees. So if he considers them devotees, how can we not consider them devotees? Oh, there's many chapters in that devotion. There are different levels of devotion. Now, that nectar of devotion, for the most part, explains that for, at least especially the Eastern way, that's what it explains for the different Adal, Shada, Sadasandhik, Abhat, and Kriya. But, service to the devotees means, Krishneti yatsya giritam manasaya dhyayeta, dikshasti satpaniti dikshabhajantam yisham, shushu shaya tavajnam ananya anya, Yajati Sunyam Ridayam Sita Sangalabhya, we should mentally honor the devotees who engage in chanting the holy name. We should cooperate and serve the devotees who engage in serving the deities, who initiate in serving the deities. In other words, the sadhakas who are serious about advancing devotional service, we should cooperate with. And to those who are advanced in unlike devotional service, whose hearts are devoid of the tendency to criticize others, we should hear very attentively from them, try to understand what they say, and put it into practice within our lives. So this is the platform of Siddhati Pati Purinati Guryam Akriti Krishati Bhunte Bodhayate Chaiva Kadvidantati Lakshana. Then we know how to engage in the loving reciprocation to the devotees, because all the relationships between the devotees is supposed to be reciprocations of love. That's how we advance, by reciprocating lovingly with the devotees. Therefore, we try to associate in such a way as that loving propensity will develop. So that may mean different things for different levels of devotees. It may mean according to the level of devotion I'm on, how I perceive others. So I should try and arrange my life personally in such a way as that my reciprocation to the devotees is as sweet as possible. So that takes some knowledge and understanding how to do it. That's the science we're trying to learn. I'm sorry, if all you try that more, we'll learn much more about it next book of the day. Anything else? Yes. I mean, you didn't say that. I have a pussy problem with the snakes. I guess snakes aren't prisons, too. Yeah, I just said sometimes. But that was, you have to understand, it wasn't that Prabhupada was envious of the person. As, for instance, Navayoganda Swami gives an example. One time, Prabhupada was in Mayapur in his room, and he always had a guard there. Always family had a guard. So the guard disappeared. Prabhupada ran his bell and the guard disappeared. So he told, now they go to the end, now we have the end of March, don't find the guard. So they found the guard and Prabhupada was, I guess he colloquially word is, he blasted him. He became very, very forceful, very intense, and so intense that Navayoganda Swami started to shake. And he wasn't even being chastised, but he was just shaking. And then this devotee is really shaking. He said, Prabhupada was saying, why are you leaving your post? You know, this is your duty. How can you give up your duty? The devotee is like really shaking. Navayoganda Swami. And finally the devotee left. And Prabhupada was very calm and started talking about Navayoganda Swami again. So he could understand that what was being displayed by Prabhupada was simply for the benefit of the devotee. The Prabhupada, if this devotee walked in, Prabhupada said, oh, it would be nice to be around here. Then the devotee said, well, it's not very serious. Prabhupada didn't know he was very serious, people didn't hear him. You know, that's what we thought, typically we all said, oh, he's a pure devotee, Krishna's always protecting him. I don't really have to be here, you know. And he would have done it again and again, and he would have, you know, gotten into neglecting the service of the spiritual master. But when Prabhupada showed that he was actually very serious, you know, this was actually, he took it very seriously, you know, and now the devotee got the message, because he, at least he was shaking. It had some effect on him. So that's necessary. If Prabhupada didn't do what he did, then someone would have been misdirected. And Prabhupada was very expert. Sometimes he had to be apologized. But that was all, you know, it was all arranged by Krishna. It was everything, you know, one time a devotee came in, it was 1977, and Prabhupada ran, the was late. So finally they brought the plate, Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just, you know, like, later, and Prabhupada just chastised the devotee very heavily. And the devotee was completely shocked, you know. And then 5 seconds later, Prabhupada said, actually, he said, I'm an old man. He said, well, first of all, he was telling him that, you know, I'm never hungry anymore. I've lost all my appetite. Finally, I had a little appetite. And you bring it late, and it's all ruined. It's all, you know, you ruined everything. And the devotee is completely feeling, completely, I would say, quite distraught. And then Prabhupada said, well, actually, I'm sorry. So an old man, I have such a temper. You know, old people have such a temper. And then the devotee felt twice as, you know, completely. The Prabhupada simultaneously chastised him, and then felt, melted his heart. It completely endeared him. The Prabhupada was, you know, quite expert in transcendental dealing. So we just felt, well, Prabhupada chastised someone. You know, he's a heavy person. Then we'll dismiss the whole thing.
Maharaj, you mentioned that the Srimati Radharani feels that I'm the servant of all the devotees. And my question is there ever a time that Srimati Radharani and the other devotees should leave that consciousness of serving as a servant of the servant? Perhaps, for example, like the devotees sometimes maybe become proud, like during the last advance of the Krishna dancing with me, and then Krishna and Mahatma Radharani, I'm alone with Krishna, I'm his name.
Please Krishna is quite intense, but it's not anything she does is also pleasing to everyone. I remember something about Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura explains how when Śrīmati Radharani was taken away by Krishna and his display of his relations with her, then she was sitting there completely despondent, feeling completely helpless and distraught. And when all the other gopis came and they saw how intensely Śrīmati Radharani was feeling sorry and distraught, repentance, then they realize that this is the Gopi that actually left Krishna more than anyone else. So no one could feel so intense separation, such an intense feeling of humility that he does. So he displayed her, unlike her Gopi qualities, all the Gopis, all these Gopi Gopis. He showed how, why he took her away. But that wasn't that Madhura Arana said, hey Krishna, let's get out of here. No, we've had enough of these gopis, it's you and me for now. No, Krishna took her away just to show that how exalted position she's, how she's so attached to him and how she's so humble. At least sometimes we think it's one thing, and usually it's the opposite of what we think. Yeah. So I guess that's what we're here for, that's what we're trying to learn. That's the art. One time I was with Prabhupada, and I remember Prabhupada's lecturing for talking to me for, it was actually hours. Was another devotee there was myself, and I kept on speaking. And one of the things he said is, he said, don't try and teach your godbrother's lessons. Yeah, and in my initiation letter, he said, try and take assistance from your godbrother. So there's one thing, trying to get assistance, the other thing is trying to teach people lessons, trying to instruct them. And they don't want to be instructed. Even subtly, it doesn't work out. Because we think we're superior to others, and I remember reading one place. If we think we're superior to others, certainly there's going to be difficulties. As soon as we lose the mood of service, then at least we'll be in trouble. Well, even subtly, we have to give up this understanding. We should always take position of service. And if someone else sees us as superior, and inquires from us, then we can instruct. Otherwise, it says, anudegam param bhakya satyam priyatam satyam priyatam siyat svarayaya vyasanam taiva vangmanau uchite. So austerity speech means to say things which are pleasing and truthful and following the scriptures. All these things may be there. You may say something pleasing, try to say in a very pleasing way, say something that's beneficial, that's truthful, and follow the scriptures. But if we wind up agitating someone's mind as a result of it, then it's forgotten, or we haven't actually gotten the full, we haven't really benefited them. Therefore, Prabhupada said that if one is in the position of authority in relation to that particular person, then one may instruct them, but if one is not, then one should not instruct them if it's going to agitate their mind. Of course, in the class, that's a little different. Everyone's generally voluntarily coming to class, so therefore sometimes the speaker can speak, you know, strongly, and someone's mind may get agitated. But that's, you know, that's the mercy of the devotee. That's the situation, as she knows, in the rain. Although Krishna said, idam te na tapasthaya na bhaktaya kadachana vachashu shushare vacham nacham yogyaram suyuti. So one should not instruct persons who are not engaged in tapasya, who are not devotees, who are not idam te na tapasthaya na bhaktaya kadachana vachashu shushare vacham, who are not ready to follow your instructions. That's what that means. If you tell them someone something and they're not going to follow your instructions, then it's worse than not telling them something. But sometimes, classes are opened up and people speak with the class before they speak, because there may be some sincere people in the class and they will follow the instructions. They'll be benefited. So sometimes they take a risk like that before they preach. Those devotees who preach and they become very dear. But generally in our personal dealing, we have to be much more careful. Even in classes, we have to be careful, but especially in our personal dealings, we have to be careful. Thank you very much. Grandparents, my Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.